Hello, and welcome to Freshfields Tech Connect podcast series. So we've created this to discuss the latest regulatory and political developments that impact the way tech companies operate, invest, and defend their businesses. Today, I'm here with Eugene McQuaid and Andrew Austin. I'm Natasha Good. I'm a partner, and I look after our tech, media, and telecoms sector group globally. Eugene McQuaid works in our Brussels public affairs practice, and Andrew Austin, who's a partner, is one of our experts in consumer protection regulation. Today we're here to talk about Europe's approach to regulation of artificial intelligence. So, Eugene, the Commission has just published its white paper on artificial intelligence, AI. Can you tell us a bit more about it?
Yeah, certainly. So today is quite a significant day for tech policy in Europe. Today, indeed, the newly appointed Commission published its strategy for Europe, Fit for a Digital Age, which contains an outline of the key initiatives that it plans to take over the course of its five-year mandate. So this strategy itself is a mixture of legislative and non-legislative initiatives. And the aim of the strategy overall is to try and create fair and competitive digital economy in Europe to ensure that Europe is a global digital player, and also to try and make sure that we have a digital and sustainable economy in Europe. And so as part of the Commission's digital strategy, one of the flagship initiatives is, as you mentioned, the AI white paper, and it's accompanied as well by the European data strategy.
And are you able to tell us a bit about what's in the detail of the white paper itself and what the Commission is actually proposing?
Yeah, so the Commission's white paper builds on the work that the previous Commission was doing on AI. You may remember in the last mandate, there wasn't necessarily a lot of legislative action in this area, but the Commission, together with its high-level expert group on AI and the European AI Alliance, of which Andrea and myself are members, they developed ethical guidelines for trustworthy AI. And so Europe definitely sees high ethical standards as its, let's say, competitive advantage vis-a-vis the US and China. And this position has been somewhat emboldened by the success globally of the GDPR framework. And so today what we see is a white paper outlining some legislative and some non-legislative initiatives for AI. And so before they start putting regulation on the table and putting something on paper, and the Commission wants to gather stakeholders' views on a number of issues that it considers relevant to be addressed under AI. So here we're talking about things like high-risk applications, so facial recognition technology, for example, or the use of AI in healthcare. We're looking at mandatory standards or obligations. So when might certain applications have to be transparent? You have to have, let's say, traceability and things like this, and the obligations that companies will have to stick to. Enforcement and governance is an important part of this strategy, and looking at how they, you know, across the single market actually manage to enforce any regulation that they propose, and also whether there's a need for a central EU governance structure, perhaps similar to the European Data Protection Board, which then provides a lot of guidance on the application of the GDPR. And lastly, and by no means least importantly, we're looking at whether the EU's safety and liability framework is up to scratch.
Great. There's a huge amount in there. Turning to Andrew. Andrew, you're a member of two Commission's expert groups on liability and new technologies and on product safety and artificial intelligence. Can you tell us a bit about the aspects of the safety and liability framework that you've been working on and what we can expect from the Commission?
Yes, absolutely. So the Commission has been looking at whether the safety and liability framework for AI and for other emerging technologies is really up to scratch. When I talk about liability, I mean whether consumers in particular can get compensation if something goes wrong with a tech-enabled product or service and they suffer harm. And safety, the Commission's looking at the regulatory obligations on producers. So, for example, the obligation to make sure those products are safe, to take action if they find out that they aren't. The challenge, I think, here is that the European legislation that governs both product safety and product liability for AI-enabled products and all other products is very old. So the Product Liability Directive, which is the main piece of liability legislation, dates from 1985, which is a year after CD-ROMs were first introduced for PCs. And the General Product Safety Directive, which is the main piece of product safety legislation, well, it's a relative newcomer. It's only 19 years old. They were both drafted as being technology neutral, and they've both stood the test of time pretty well. So the product liability regime, for example, has been applied to a range of products from vaccines to bicycles to pacemakers. But I think there's just a recognition that the pace of technological change means that, you know, we need to look again at whether these pieces of legislation are fit for purpose. And so in late 2018, the Commission set up an expert group to look at the product liability regime, whether changes were needed to that directive. And much more recently, it set up a subgroup to look specifically at the challenges posed by AI to product safety. Both of those groups have been grappling with the same sorts of issues. I'm a bit limited by what I can say because obviously need to be respectful of the confidentiality of those processes. But the sorts of issues that are under consideration, for example, how far should software or code be treated as a standalone product for these purposes? So if I'm a consumer, should I have the right to sue the developer of an AI or another software application as well as the producer of whatever product it's been incorporated into? What sort of risk should fall within the scope of these regimes? So are we just talking about traditional safety risks, personal injury, harm to physical property? Or are we also talking about loss of personal data, harm to mental health, mental well-being? Who should be responsible for the safety of a product where, for example, as a result of machine learning, the functionality of that product develops over time? Can the producer say, no, it worked when it left my control, something's happened since then, it's the AI's issue, not mine? Obviously not. And then I think one thing that again has been grappled with across both of those groups is decision-making by an AI can happen in a black box where problems arise with a connected technology. It can be very difficult for the consumer to sort of identify, or a regulator to identify, what exactly has gone wrong. It may not be clear which product or which service was responsible. So there's been a lot of discussion about whether it needs to be made easier for consumers and regulators to succeed in claims or prosecutions, for example, by reversing the burden of proof in that sort of case that involves complex technologies. In terms of what happens next, we know from the Commission's work programme for 2020, which came out at the end of January, that they are definitely going to revise the General Product Safety Directive, so concrete plans for that. We don't yet know what those changes will look like. It's a bit less certain, I think, in terms of changes to the Product Liability Directive, that regime. Originally, there was going to be non-binding guidance published. It's not certain whether that's fallen by the wayside or not. But I think to address some of the issues that I've mentioned, so for example, whether software is a standalone product, you would need formal revisions to the legislation. So I suspect we may see proposals in that regard towards the end of the year, perhaps as part of the follow-up to the consultation on the AI white paper.
And so back to you, Gene, what else can we expect to come out of this white paper?
So, as I said, Natasha, the Commission is at this stage just proposing, a menu of options, looking at what it could potentially do and trying to gather stakeholder feedback on that. In the next couple of months, there will be a public consultation process where people can formally then respond to some of the ideas in there. We can also expect the Commission to organise a number of workshops and try and encourage people to feed into the process in different ways. Mm. We'll also see, for example, I mean, although they have no formal role at this stage, the European Parliament will certainly voice its opinion on what it wants to see. And at the moment, it's developing, or different MEPs within the European Parliament are developing resolutions tackling certain elements of AI. So the intellectual property framework, civil liability, ethics. And so they will very much be vocal on what they want to see the Commission come forward with. And then on the member state side, they will likely also voice their opinions. And I think we see them probably taking quite a strong role when it comes to investment in AI in Europe and trying to free up capital. Concretely, we expect the first legislative proposals to be coming out towards the end of 2020.
Right. So there's a huge amount here, but I'm really interested in what does this mean in practical terms for tech companies, and are there certain issues here that jump out at you?
So three things I think come to mind. First is a really obvious one. Companies need to keep a really close eye on these proposals and engage with them at the right time, and that's either directly or they can do that via their industry associations. Some of these changes are potentially very significant. So, for example, as I said, One proposal that's been talked about is reversing the burden of proof in product liability cases that involve complex tech. And that could seriously increase litigation risk for producers. So you want to know if that's going to happen. I think it's also not clear whether the sorts of changes to the product liability directive and the general product safety regime that we've been talking about would be targeted solely at AI or consumer products that use AI or other emerging technologies, or whether they would be sort of across the board changes that might affect all sorts of producers. The second thing, and it's almost a more sort of philosophical point, is that I think that sort of engagement from industry is really important, because my worry at the moment is that the EU may not get the balance quite right between consumer protection on the one hand and innovation on the other. And if that does go wrong and there's too precautionary an approach that's taken, it could have a chilling effect on the development of the technologies, particularly the consumer applications of AI. And that could mean that Europe falls behind China and the US, for example. So to be fair, the EU completely recognises that. But as I said, it also wants to make sure that these technologies are considered as safe and trustworthy by consumers in order to encourage their adoption. So it's all about striking the right balance. So take one example, one technology that will use AI and machine learning, so connected and autonomous vehicles. Obviously, it is super important that individual connected cars, vans, trucks are as safe as they can be, and that road users and other consumers can be compensated if a vehicle systems go wrong, just as they can today if the steering fails or the brakes fail on a car. But if the regulatory framework were to focus too much on those sort of individual level risks, you'd miss the bigger picture, which is that autonomous vehicles have the potential to reduce road traffic accidents, fatalities on the road from 75 to 90%, according to different estimates. So, you know, there needs to be a sensible approach to the risks, but without losing sight of the really big societal benefits, including in terms of safety, that these technologies can bring. And the third point, inevitably, Brexit. So the UK isn't going to be insulated from what's happening at the European level. A lot depends, obviously, on how far the UK diverges from European law after 31st of December. But even if the UK went its own way completely, you can see that the government here would be under a lot of pressure to make sure that UK consumers receive the same level of protection as consumers on the other side of the channel. So kind of whatever happens in this year's trade negotiations, I think we'll see the UK adopting any changes that are made in Brussels into the UK's own liability and safety framework.
So I think it's quite interesting that actually regulation here is formulating in a direction. And it does seem to me that there's a groundswell of opinion that some form of regulation is needed. And I wonder actually if tech companies might find it helpful to at least know the direction of travel of a significant regulatory force in Europe, at least, around this, because then they can apply their innovation efforts to activity that has that in mind. I think maybe, as we've seen with the experience of GDPR, that has been the case. Many tech companies have actually embraced this and are working as well as, you know, very well with it.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, in Brussels, for example, we're seeing you know, the tech lobby try and, you know, wrap their head around this and decide what it is they really want. I mean, you're right. I mean, when it comes to the GDPR, that has essentially been the global standard, and for a lot of countries are following that framework, and that's, I think, easier for companies to align to. Europe definitely has the ambition here to create a global standard, and companies in Brussels, especially with, let's say, those who use facial recognition technology for certain things that they do, want that clarity, whereas others want there to be time taken to make sure we have the right approach, and especially when this is an issue that affects companies globally, to make sure that we don't have different standards between the EU, the US and Asia.
Thank you, Andrew and Eugene. There's a huge amount here. In practical terms, it sounds to me as if what tech companies need to be doing is monitoring very closely. Now is the moment. The consultation period is already open for a shortish period. Also get involved. Now's the time to get involved, because the legislation's going to be fairly fast out of the blocks come the fourth quarter of 2020.
Yeah, no, I think that's right.
Great. So thank you, everybody, for listening in today. And I hope you'll join us again to listen to another Freshfields Tech Connect podcast.